4 in 10 people believe in ghosts. Over a third of people believe intelligent life exists outside of Earth. 43% of people believe demons exist. There are unexplained phenomena happening daily around the globe, and we are here to talk about it. Your portal into UFOs, paranormal, cryptids, the supernatural, the mysterious, the unknown. This is Beyond the Radar, and this is your host, humanoid Tom Kaway.
Hello, everyone. Oh, does that just get you right in the mood? Right, doesn't it? Yes, this is Beyond the Radar. Welcome. My name is Tom Conway. You might know me from Chasing Prophecy. We're also labeled paranormal, but here is my very own time slot on UPRN. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and we have a wonderful show for you. We have a wonderful guest. We have everything that you're going to want to need in the paranormal realm. So get ready, join up, and just hang tight, because we're going to have a wonderful ride. We're going to have a wonderful time, and we're also going to talk about things that just we question, that are beyond the radar, that are different than the mainstream news covers, and stuff that are on the fringes of everything. So what I would like to do is touch on everything that maybe we don't really know about, maybe we don't really have a grasp of, and stories that interest us and our certain demographic here, but also interest the population as a whole. So we're going to be delving into a lot of topics. I'm going to have guests some weeks. I'm going to just be here talking about news stories over the past weeks, and we're going to have a wonderful relationship together. Please listen. This is an interactive show. Please hop on, comment, like, subscribe, text. We have our very own text board. You can text your questions into anything and everything, and even for our specific guests. So before I introduce her, I have a little read I have to do. So sorry, I should have done that in the very beginning. Already messing up here. So let's see. Yeah, I know they say dead air, no dead air and all of that kind of stuff, but I just want to make sure I get this right for everybody here. So let's see. Here we go. So, okay. Welcome to Beyond the Radar. We are broadcasting live on the United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network 105.3 on the Gulf Coast and 107.7 FM in New Orleans. We are also live on Roku TV. So glad to get that fun stuff out of the way. Let's talk right now to our guest. Without further ado, I'm going to read you her little bio so we can get started with everything. How's that sound for everybody? So let me find that real quick. So Joanne Fawcett is a native Californian, now living in Portland, Oregon. She is the mother of a grown daughter and a proud grandmother of three. Joanne dramatically changed her life after seven marriages that included abuse, divorce, death, and being a prison wife. She left the Mormon church after 30 years and never looked back. She found her gifts, strengths, and inner power, learning that dreams do come true. Joanne never believed in UFOs, aliens, or fairies as a child. In her 20s, she felt the presence of ghosts. Since the late 90s, she's embraced the world of UFOs, aliens, elementals, and magic. In finding this new path, she remembered her strengths, gifts, and inner power. Midlife Magic, a memoir and her first book, is the story of her journey. Her passion is to teach others about this world of wonder. So without further ado, let's welcome Joanne to the show. Welcome, Joanne.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'm doing well. Doing well. How are you doing? I know there's a time difference, so how's it over there?
It's a beautiful afternoon in Portland. Thank you.
There you go. It's always a wonderful place. I've heard so many good things about Portland. And, you know, to start things off, I am a cryptid lover, so you're right with my Bigfoot. So a lot of respect for you there, too. So,
wonderful.
Absolutely. So let's get into it. I'm very happy you decided to join us. I'm very happy you wanted to be on the program. So thank you for that.
Well, thanks for asking.
Absolutely. So a wonderful, one of my first questions, after reading your bio and then, you know, having a few conversations with you before here is, you know, you weren't a believer from birth, right? You didn't really believe in that stuff as a child. So my first question to you is, was there a moment that switched you over?
Yes. And I always tell people, you know, I grew up in the 50s and 60s. So we were watching the B Martian movies. And it's like, ooh, that was scary. But, you know, who believes that stuff? And then in the late 90s, I met my last ex-husband, who is the prison inmate. But his military career involved, he and his dad were involved with military space activities, you know, flying out into space, dealing with aliens here on Earth and in space. So over, you know, not the minute I met him, but after a couple of years or so, I was typing up a manuscript of his that he'd written about a space mission. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, okay, I'm reading about aliens and about going out into space and having a space battle. It's like, what is this? Wow. And so then he started telling me about his military career, and that launched a whole new path for me. It's like, well, why not? Why couldn't this be true? And then hearing it over time from the military perspective, not just, you know, my civilian friends, it's like, it made a lot more sense. And, you know, it's like, the military's hidden a lot of this stuff. Obviously, we all agree on that, or most of us agree on that. They've hidden a lot of stuff over the years. But I learned a lot from him. So that's, you know, I would say in the late 90s. So I was in my early 40s.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. Great answer to that. And, you know, I guess that's, you know, that does make sense, because like you only have your frame of reference from everything you know until something or somebody imparts a different knowledge on you. And then it's up to you to make, you know, to make an informed decision. But that's right. That's really wonderful. And, you know, you're kind of hearing it a little bit better than we are. You're hearing it kind of from like the horse's mouth and things like that with a, you know, a military husband and somebody in the know, really.
Right.
You know, somebody who's really down deep in it. And so, you know, we shouldn't do this. Everybody's opinion should matter. But, you know, let's be honest. When somebody with a reputable job, let's say, a reputable person has an encounter or a story that they tell you, we tend to believe them a little more than somebody who we might not look like we would agree with, right? Isn't that right?
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. So when you have somebody in the military or a police officer, a firefighter, a lawyer, you know, somebody that has a reputable job, profession, things like that, it shouldn't, but we tend to believe them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Now I work in IT. So if I come out with some kind of crazy video and things like that, or if I'm a graphic designer, a web designer, a media person, you're going to look at that person and be like, well, they have the means and the tools to fake something like that. Isn't that how it goes? Right. So
right.
I really do appreciate, you know, we got to get back to talking to each other, one, and sure, interacting with each other. But that's a wonderful answer, because I love that you got brought to that conclusion by somebody instead of them trying to make you know it. You know what I mean? And you were able to
Right. And over time, it's like, I have seen some parts of his DD-214, that, you know, the military documents that say what you're ordered, you know, what you're ordered to do and who you're assigned to. So it does imply that he was indeed doing that. And other UFO researchers who are my colleagues, as you would say, in that community, looked into his background. So, because you could say, well, this guy's in prison, so why should we believe anything he says?
Well, yeah.
So that's where I thought you were going. But that, you know, people have gone beyond just believing me and looked into his background and have found, you know, at least that part of his background is true. There's other things that he wasn't so truthful about, but that's why he's an ex. But anyway, we won't go there. That's not the topic of today's discussion. And it was interesting too, because in 2004, he had said, well, there's this UFO conference happening in the San Francisco Bay Area. You might want to go. And oh, by the way, see if anybody's talking about reptilians. Like, okay. And I sat and listened to these people for the first time. It's like, wow, this is, and then it was really fascinating to me. And then I met another researcher who's written several books, and he'd written about several of the same. And he got his information from a lot of Freedom of Information Act type research. But he had written about several incidents that over here I'd gotten my ex's input on. You know, well, here's, oh, look at, they both are talking, well, this is a real incident. And this guy knows it from, you know, articles or whatever research he's done. And, oh, by the way, my ex has written about his involvement in that or his dad's involvement in this. Like, so it's kind of, you know, validating. I have had validating things happen over the years. So. Yeah.
I really appreciate that. And no, I wasn't going to go into the prison because one, not all liars are, not everybody in prison is a liar and not everyone on the outside is truthful. So, you know, we do have to make our own distinctions there too. So on the, you know, predominantly a UFO show, and I think we're getting there. I think we're getting there a lot quicker than post-disclosure than where we were at for the last seven, 8 years prior. How do you feel about this certain shift in UFOs? Like post the Vegas, you know, UFO encounter that was on like body cams and UFO and 911 reports, and then the disclosure hearings. Are you feeling like maybe the generation below us is not doing this disclosure, the secrecy? Do you think this area of disclosure is growing?
I think so. I mean, I was more active in the community before COVID, you know, and then that kind of shut everything down. And then, you know, I moved away from California, so I kind of lost touch with, I mean, I'm still in touch with a lot of those people, but I was no longer being asked to speak at all a lot of the conferences and stuff. And so, but I do believe, because being active in that community for, you know, 10 or 15 years, I think the better part of disclosure is happening at the grassroots level anyway. And it has grown, you know, since I've been involved with it. And, you know, most of the people that seem interested in it are, you know, people in their 40s and older, it seemed like. But I have noticed younger people showing up at different conferences. So it's interesting to see who's interested and who's not. But I think, and again, I was bringing to it a different perspective than just, oh, I had a UFO sighting, which I have had my own. So at least I can add my own validation to that. But I also have knowledge as well. I can tell you what different aliens are like. And, you know, and then I have a more spiritual perspective on some of it now too. So it's like, you know, what I know and believe in has grown. So I'm sure. And when was it? Was it a conference in Laughlin, like before COVID, when the Navy guys with the Tic Tac incident started? Yeah. So it's like, and I met those guys, love them. And it's like, okay, finally, you know, we're going to get somewhere. But again, the government, they're just not prepared, or they're not willing to, they're not really going to spill all the beans, because the government has known all this stuff for years and years, and the military has been involved with it for years and years. So they're just not, they're not there. They're not going to disclose it unless they absolutely have to, I think.
Yeah. It's almost, you got to get the hand behind the back, you know, and twist it. But what I think, you know, if I were to go on a macro level here, is yes, you know, the predominant people who have the time and the energy to go to these conferences, to these paranormal, you're right, is a generation 40 plus. But what they have now, they didn't have back then. And what I mean by that is the younger generation with phones, with, you know, you have a little computer in your pocket anymore.
Right, so right.
The cameras are everywhere. And as people of a certain generation are getting older with that time, they're also being taught the tech of today by a younger generation, and whether it's like adapt or die type of thing, that's up to whoever. But,
right.
You know, to me, when they have, when you have a generation working together in any field, forget UFO, paranormal, right. It could be anything. You can get a lot done. You can get a lot done when the youngers listen to the older, but the older also have to listen to the younger too.
True. You and know? I was going to say, one time I was in England speaking at a couple different conferences, and the lady friend that was driving me, you know, we were at a hotel having drinks before dinner, and we were spending the night there on our way to the other one. And, you know, she's just pointing her iPhone up in the sky because she's always looking for stuff. Well, what do you think that black dot is that's showing up on my phone? It's like, I don't know. But, you know, she kept zooming in and zooming in. And of course, we were hoping it was a UFO. Well, we go to a different part of England a couple days later, and the same kind of thing is showing up on her phone, only it's flying more erratically. I go, I don't think that's a star. Oh, sorry. And
you're good.
Sure enough, it was a UFO.
Okay.
So it was, and that was years ago, but it is nice to be able to use the technology to capture these things. And, you know, people are capturing or whatever, pictures and videos of the paranormal and UFO stuff on their phones. And because like there was a huge UFO incident in China in the 70s. Well, there were no cameras. There were no cell phones. CNN couldn't get there immediately, you know, but people reported bright lights in the sky and all things, you know, flying back and forth. And there was a space battle going on over China. So but you couldn't, you know, who was going to be there to take pictures?
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And oftentimes when we talk about this stuff, and especially, you know, being on UPRN and having access to many different hosts, guests, you know, that sort of thing, the consensus is the same. It's like, man, other than flying down here and slapping you on the forehead, what is it going to take for people to believe? Because with the distrust of media, with the distrust of the internet and computers, if you see something online, it's almost everyone's first reaction to be like, no, that didn't happen. You know? So I don't know what it's going to take for the masses to believe.
Well, and if you look at, you know, it's like, I think many of us agree that, where do you think the technology for our phones come from?
Yeah.
Where do you think perhaps Elon Musk is getting his advanced technology from? You know, the humans have helpers. Helpers. And, you know, when I watch movies like Jurassic World, and they look just like the velociraptors that I'm talking about in all my talk, it's like, And when I see really interesting looking names in the credits, like, who helped make this movie? Who helped fund the making of this movie?
You're exactly right. You really are because I'm not spilling the beans on anything. I'll bring this guest on to say for themselves. You know what I mean? But I've talked to people who will stack of Bibles, put their hand on it and say, I know people personally, not I've talked to, not I've email or pen pals with, but I know in real life I've talked to, I've seen, and they work alongside aliens in the contracting world, in the military, in certain military bases, right, Pat? And, you know, other ones as well. I'm not just using that, but this, because how are you going to tell me? And I'll give you one short example.
Sure.
How are you going to tell me that you have two drunk brothers at Kitty Hawk in 1902 laying down on the hull of an airplane with a stick and the other one's pushing it from behind and you fly for, you fly for 12 seconds is what it was. And then 30 years later, you have transcontinental flight. I'm all for progress. Believe me, I'm not trying to shut anything down. Let's keep it going. You know what I mean? Let's get the tubes and send us to, you know, across the country in a half hour, right? I'm all for that. But you can't tell me we got, when you have the previous 1900 years that you can't do it. And you have the greatest minds. And I mean the greatest minds. Look at all the flying contraptions from Da Vinci and Galileo and things like that. Real smart individuals who who did it on their own, didn't need computers, first of all, but that's neither here nor there. But you have some wonderful, smart people that couldn't get their ass off the ground. You have a couple of drunk brothers, which it's the power of alcohol. Let's not lie. And, you know, but then you go from there until transcontinental travel, not 12 feet, but 1,200 miles, you know.
Well, and then
you had to have had help.
Yes. And Tesla, many people agree or believe that, I mean, he was talking to aliens. What was that, like in the 20s?
Yeah. So, oh, yeah. You know, yeah.
The help's been here. And again, if you look at medieval paintings or Renaissance era paintings, I don't ask me to date them. Sometimes you can see UFO in the painting. So it's like they've been visiting this planet for thousands of years. So.
You're exactly right. And if you say Renaissance, we know what time you're talking about.
It was a long time
you know,
ago.
I'm not going to be that type of host and make you be like, what year was that? No, you're good.
I don't know.
Renaissance to me means a long time ago. Yeah. So, you know, you're absolutely right. That and Tesla, man, whew, we backed the wrong guy. I mean, you could have wireless charging everything, but there's probably not a way to monetize it. Again, neither here nor there.
So follow the money.
Yeah. But right now, if you want wireless charging, right, for your phone, you have to have it on the damn thing or within a few inches, right? Right. So he invented that in 1860-something. Too bad we were in the middle of a war, you know, but still he invented it around that. But, you know, that's just something that we had to have had help on. How can we communicate internet via Wi-Fi, radio signals, telephone signals, television signals across bands, you know what I mean? And we don't know how to do anything else with it because we're only brought to where they're bringing us.
Right.
You know what I mean? We're only brought to the point in us. And to me, and here's the real question. I want to pick your brain on this because this is a good conversation that we got going on right here. I want to pick your brain on this. What do you think we had to give up to get that?
People.
Yes. Yes.
I don't even have to think about it. We gave up people.
You know, if you had to put a number on all time, yearly, what do you think it is?
I would say millions. Because just for a small example, in 1961, there was an interstellar treaty conference held in southern England with at least 100 alien species. My father-in-law helped organize it. He was in charge of security. The British Prime Minister President Kennedy authorized it. And the civilians didn't even know it was happening, but I've been to many of the sites where it happened. And my ex was seven. Mm-hmm. At the time. And he was one of probably three human children that were allowed to be there. He and his girlfriend, and Prince Charles was there for, well, he's now King Charles, but Prince Charles was a teenager and he was there for the opening ceremonies. And so they had several committee meetings on, you know, do we let the humans go into space? Do we sell them our used spacecraft? Do we let them defend their planet from space? And there was big arguments on how many humans are we allowed to kidnap? And even after that, because my father-in-law and several other people were vehemently opposed to no kidnapping of humans to trade for technology. Mm-hmm. And of course, there were lots of side deals between politicians or state leaders or heads of governments and corporate people who ignored that and did their own deal. So there are other reports that he's written about, well, this guy in China has a quota for how many people he will allow to be kidnapped for X amount of technology. So we gave up lots of people. And when you hear of a large disaster and suddenly there's thousands of bodies that are not accounted for, like in that 1976 incident, because there was a major earthquake in China, where do you think those people went? They were heading out to space.
Yeah.
And you know, you hear of tsunamis and earthquakes and all kinds of things that happen in the United States and other places. And where are all the bodies?
Alaska. Alaska is another one. Exactly right.
I was just there and it's a beautiful place, but I hadn't even thought about that.
I'm not talking about the terrain. Yeah, no,
even, years ago, in the Middle East. And what's the country that starts? Oh, Syria. Okay, what's the country that starts with S? Syria. You know, millions of people were leaving as refugees. They either went like towards Europe or they went like maybe towards Turkey. They didn't all get to where they were supposed to be going, because you didn't have millions and millions of refugees ending up in those countries. So where do you think they went? They didn't stay on the planet.
See, you're exactly right. And this is why, you know, I wanted to have you on here first, because you speak so matter of factly, and you know this, you know, with your ex in the military and just pillow talk, I guess, about these type of things. This is why I want to have you on, because we need more people like you to open their mouth and talk and get their stories out.
And if you combine my paranormal experiences, because I regularly talk to the other side through a channeling medium, and I have talked to his dad, who died before I met the ex, and he's confirmed and even added new details to what the ex, because he couldn't even tell his son everything that was going on. But, you know, he's confirmed and added other details about other conferences and things. So, you know, that's another validation I have. Whether people want to believe me that I talk to spirits, I don't care. But, you know, it's like I have validation from many sides. And, you know, and I have one of my spirit guides is a non-human. So,
yeah. Oh,
I know. That was fun. It's just pretty cool.
Yeah, nice spirit guide. He's like, well, take your fourth arm. And you're like, well, I can't. But no, I'm kidding. But what I wonder, and let's kick around a little hypothetical here.
Sure.
You have Syrian refugees, obviously Americans, Chinese. Was this number determined on a global scale? Or are there, God, I don't want to sound this way, but are there benefits maybe to certain races that they might want?
Oh.
Like you can take so many races,
certain races of earthlings that the aliens
yes,
might.
Yes.
And this is not coming from me as a racist or anything, but, you know, I've heard maybe they don't necessarily kidnap certain races over others because they don't like them as much.
Yeah. And I've no, you're just, no, believe me, you're just talking about demographics and things like that.
Right.
On my other show, I had somebody on who took the numbers of that, and, you know, they were high 80% in the skewing towards Caucasian. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I agree with that.
So, and that was just simple math. That's not, you know, there's numbers to back that up. So no, I didn't take it that way, but I was just wondering, do they view us on the Earth scale? So I guess by that logic, it's not that way. It's I want qualified abductees, right?
Well, and some of it might have, I guess it depends on what you want to use the earthlings for, because sometimes it's just science experiments. Sometimes this particular race can no longer breed themselves due to environmental issues or whatever, and so they need a womb,
male or female. A female.
They need a female to breed, you know, breed with. Because maybe we're more compatible or similar to theirs, or they just need a body. But maybe certain females, right, you know, I don't know. Maybe there's more compatible than others. I don't know. You know, female is a female. But so I don't know how exactly they pick. But, it, you know, sometimes, you know, they just might want you for food. And sometimes you just might be a sex slave. And, you know, it's never anything good that you're taken away for.
Definitely not. And just hold on one second. I'll do a reset. We are broadcasting live on United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network, 105.3 on the Gulf Coast, 107.7 in New Orleans. And we are also on Roku TV. And I have Joanne, who is our guest tonight, author and UFO extraordinaire. I will put in there. I just gave you that title as well. So,
thank you.
But here's something that I wanted to follow up with that. You're talking about sex, but you also mentioned a meal.
Yes.
Do you know of alien deaths or alien caused deaths of humans?
I don't have numbers, but I mean, I don't have numbers. But for example, I mean.
But do you know that that's one of the things that they would want a human for?
Yeah. Several of them used to like to eat us because we're tasty.
Oh, wow.
Yes. We are tasty, apparently. Okay. And our friends, the velociraptors, are actually, that species is real, and they originated on this planet. They still look like velociraptors. For years and years and years, they were not necessarily our friends, because when they lived here, we were just rodents, and now they, you know, they left the planet for millions of years and came back, and now we're running all over the place. But they decided to be our allies, and they work currently with our military when they're needed. But there was a certain point where their empress had to say, okay, stop eating the humans. We need to start working with them now. You know, so they've tried to, you know, curtail, unless you really piss them off, and, or you're their enemy. You know, if you're, if they're helping the United States and our common enemy is maybe the Russians invading Ukraine, or who's ever invading Syria and all that, you know, it's like, then they might eat you because you're the enemy of your friend that you're helping. So they don't eat you so much anymore unless they have to, or unless you've seen them and you're not supposed to. And, you know, cause that's the easiest way to get rid of you. But there are other species that still probably eat us regularly. I would imagine, cause we're tasty, but you know,
I take pride in being tasty.
No, okay, good.
We have a question on our text board. I got a text question. Yay. So first one, yes, thank you so much, this number. When you were talking about the velociraptor, they wanted to know, do you think any of them are in the wild or left here, not with a mission?
There are, they have 4 to 5 bases, or they used to. I think they probably still have them again. They have 4 to 5 bases here on the planet. And so before COVID, there were thousands of them here. There might, and sometimes the ones that don't live here, they'll come here for vacation because it's such a lovely planet. And lots of species like to come here for vacation, and it's easy to get here because it's kind of in the line of, you know, there's a long L word, Lagrangian or something like that point. You know, so there's a technical point, a term for why they let, you know, this is kind of a good stopping off place if you're going somewhere else in the universe. But
so we're like a rest stop almost.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I would say that's what I think of it. So species do come here just to study scientific things. Species do come here for vacation. They don't really want to be seen. But so sometimes I am sure the velociraptors are here, but you know, a lot of them are here as part of, you know, they've been assigned to be here, is my opinion.
Okay. So. Now, when you talk about reptilian and things like that, and the velociraptor, how we've just been talking about, their leaders, how you mentioned, are they also velociraptors, or are they different types of reptilians?
Well, there are at least 6, I think, species of reptilians.
Okay.
2 originated here on the planet, the ones that look like velociraptors, and then their cousins who kind of started out looking like velociraptors, and they evolved into a more human looking thing, even though they do have sharp claws still and they don't have a tail anymore, but they can walk upright, and they're very tall and they're very human looking, and they're really nasty, and they're responsible for most of the kidnappings that happen of humans.
Okay.
They are not our friends. They are often involved with maybe Syria invasion, or I can't swear, but I'm sure they were involved with the Ukrainian problem and things like that. So the velociraptors, we just call them raptors, are our allies at the moment. The reptoids that I just described are not. Okay. There's Dracos that live in space. Yeah, they would like to, you know, kind of take over Earth too. They're not our friends. And there are other very friendly reptilian species that are just really cute that live in space, probably never come here. So, you know, everybody's got their own, you know, species and empire. The velociraptors started here, but they went out to colonize space. And then, you know, they thought they'd only been gone a little while, and then, oh, we've been gone millions of years. But they have a vast empire in space. But they do have, you know, because this is their home world, and they're not happy that we've messed it up so much environmentally, you know.
Us tasty things, too. That doesn't help our cause at all.
We're messy and tasty.
We're messy and tasty. That's the theme of this episode. So, yeah. So real quick before we move on. What percent, give me a percentage out of 100% are good versus bad different races of aliens?
Oh,
like are 70% good?
I don't know because there's, okay. I know there's hundreds of species out there. You know, there's reptilians, there's humanoids, there's insectoids, there's things that are gaseous. There's things that like to exist in water. And I don't know the names of all 200. I know at least 200 different species have come to two different big conferences, but, and I only know a smattering of them. So I'd hate to, cause I don't want people to think I'm giving a wrong number, but and I tend to know more about the friendly ones just because that's what we talked about. Mostly I know a smattering of some non-friendly ones. So, you know, and I used to give, one of my favorite talks to give is describing different aliens, but I know there's a lot more.
But. Wonderful. Okay. So let's shift a little bit from UFOs. And when you were talking about ghosts and you were in your 20s when you could start to feel the presence of ghosts. Right. Similar question. Was there something then that kicked it off? Like, was there an encounter?
Yeah. At that time, I was married to a guy who was a funeral director. And we lived in Southern California, and we had he had to transport a body of this nice little old lady. Not that I knew her, but you know, she was nice. Anyway, this little old lady, we had to transport her body to a graveside service in Northern California. And I said I would go along. And you know, I'm so irreverent at the sometimes, but it's like, so we're driving from Southern to Northern California, taking a nap in the van, and the casket is right there. So it's like you know, I was like, who does that? Anyway, yeah. So that's a
what am I doing moment.
I know,
in life.
It is. And it's really uncomfortable because it's not like there was a bed in the bottom of anyway. So we're doing this. He's doing this little service, and there was maybe two relatives there. You know, the lady was old, her relatives were old. And but I'm standing there being the supportive wife and you know, just having you know, presence there, and all of a sudden the lady's spirit just is there, and it's like, whoa. And it wasn't like I could see her, but I could feel her, and I knew it was her because I go, you know, go a lot with my gut. And it's just like, I'm thinking, hi, how are you? You know, it's like, you know, type of thing. And yeah, it's not like we had this long conversation, but it was more that I could feel that presence. And I knew that was her. And she was happy to watch her service. And, you know, it was peaceful, that kind of stuff. It wasn't like she was scared and, you know, now what do I do type of thing. And I didn't have to say, here, go to the light, you know, that kind of
thing.
Like, it was just really pleasant to feel her spirit.
That's wonderful. So, and very sweet. Like, she had accepted her transition.
Yeah.
And you do hear about like some people who don't know that they are dead and they have to be guided into the light. So it's refreshing to hear that side of it, because there is something beautiful about accepting your own anything in life, really, but death is the ultimate one.
Especially so really sudden.
Yeah, because I mean, being depressed and sad doesn't even touch it if you were like gone in an instant, but still remember your family. You know what I mean? Like that would be awful. It'd be so sad.
Right. And if you met with a very tragic death, and especially if you weren't expecting it, you know, like a car accident or something, but it just depends. And another, you know, the same husband, we moved from California to Ohio, and his sister's mother-in-law passed, and I'd met her once or twice. And you know, I was singing at the funeral, so I was in the front of the chapel, but, you know, I could clearly sense her at the back of the chapel up in my left-hand corner. Like, I knew that's where she was, watching the crowd and seeing who showed up or whatever, just enjoying the service. And again, it wasn't anything scary. It's like, okay, this is cool. She's here. You know, I don't need to make a big deal out of it, because why would, I mean, you know, we were all Mormons. We all believed in afterlife. So, you know, it's like, but it was just cool because most of the time at church, that's not what you're talking about. You know, you're not talking about, well, Aunt Julie just sat down to dinner. So, you know.
You're right. Each religion has its own way to view the afterlife. And it seems like they all have a little bit of it wrong. But, you know.
Yes. And especially now that I talk to people on the other side, or it's not even another side. It's just, you know, it's just there. This, and at least the one thing about the Mormon church is like, they teach you that, I mean, they teach that there's heaven and da, 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 whatever, but we won't go there. But it's like, they also taught that the spirit world is just like right there. It's just, you know, it's just right here. It's just, we can't, it's like another dimension. You can't really, they don't call it that, but you, I know that. Yeah. It's like you just can't reach through and touch it necessarily. So.
And I think that gives a little bit of, well, I mean, anybody can have be entitled to how they feel, but to me, right. It gives a little bit of peace to know, here's what I'm about to say. The more people I talk to that can communicate with the other side, the more I hear the same story. And that's peaceful. And that's honestly refreshing to me, because if you hear everybody has a different thing to say about it, it makes it less credible to me. But when everybody says the same thing that has these gifts and they have these realms that they can communicate and talk to and say the same thing, oh, they're right here. Oh, there are lower vibrational energies. Oh, if you just wear religious priests, it's more, you know, they won't bother with you. It's, you know, there's easier targets. How to protect yourself, how to protect yourself during meditation, how to protect yourself, you know, through trying to reach your own higher vibrational self. Everything in this planet's vibrational. So it seems like it's all wrapped into something that we can beat around the answer, but not really get there. So, but it is refreshing to hear all of the stories and talking about that you shouldn't fear death, because we all get older. We're right. All going to go. But when you have that, at least knowing a little bit of it, it can make your days here more peaceful, because there are a lot of scare tactics in the afterlife. Right.
And what's interesting is, I mean, I've talked to my mom and my dad and my ex's dad at great length, mm-hmm. and several other people. But one of the beauties that I love is that, you know, you don't necessarily stop learning, you know, if you choose to keep, if you're open to learning new things, it's like that doesn't stop just because you don't have your body anymore. It's like my mom is like, okay, you were pretty cool in when you were living, but you know, now she's like talking to me about quantum stuff and just like, what? That's nothing you would have talked to me about when you were alive, because you wouldn't even have known what that word was. And neither did I when you were alive. But it's like, it's amazing, you know, the possibilities. They don't stop just because, you know, your body and your spirit aren't attached anymore. So,
yeah, I mean, it all seems to be relative, right? It all seems to be around. And, you know, it's a journey, right? It's a journey. And every single major religion and every single minor religion will at least have that part right, that this is a journey, and who you are isn't supposed to be who you be when you go. You know what I mean? And that sort of thing. But it's on us to help grow ourselves and learn the lesson we were put here to learn.
True. And I've had a few.
I'm sure you have a very interesting bio. I'll say that for sure. So speaking of the bio, you mentioned elementals. I'm not too familiar with that. Can you give me
explain
that to me?
They are it's the fairy realm in plain terms, but there are several, like just like aliens, it's like you have fairies, brownies, sprites, gnomes, trolls, all kinds of different species of elementals. That's the umbrella term. So you wouldn't want to say that everything's a fairy, because that will offend them and then they might get mad at you. But they're an energy being. There are elementals here on Earth. There are elementals out in space. Many alien species have their own elementals. And the ones here on Earth, again, like the velociraptors, this is their homeworld, and they love it and they honor it. And they're not real happy that we keep messing it up environmentally. So, you know, I try to spoil my elementals in my old house in California. There were fairy houses all over the place. There were beds for the inside ones. There were houses for the outside ones. I put out treats regularly. And in my apartment in Oregon, you know, I have a couple of like fairy rooms and things, and I still put out treats on certain, you know, days and times and holidays. And but again, they love Mother Earth, and they're part of the cryptid, you know, they're part of the cryptid zoology type thing, because that's something we can't necessarily explain. But they're energy beings. They can also take corporeal form, and I've seen that happen a couple of times. It's not something I see regularly. I usually have only been able to see, you know, one time I saw a lovely face in a bush. I've seen a couple turn into physical bodies that look like little humans a couple times when I surprise them. I have seen their shadows. A lot of times people see orbs, beautiful mm-hmm. colored orbs. In yes. my world, those are fairies or elementals, okay. you know, and they can live to be hundreds of years. And, you know, they're just wonderful beings. And they can help you. They can trick you if you've yeah. pissed them off. You know, I've had them push me up or down stairs if I've been naughty in their mind or, you know, whatever. It's like, but they've also, if I ask nicely, they've also helped me find, oh, those keys or a certain piece of paper that I need and I can't find it. And I've looked, okay, you've mm-hmm. laughed at me long enough now. They've pulled it out of the pile. I've had some fabulous experiences with my elementals. So.
Wonderful. Yes. Yeah, so a previous podcast, I had an episode on fae folk and fairy lore and a lot of it. Well, it's all over, but the more traditional stuff comes from, you know, Ireland, UK and Germany. Right. But
and Scotland
and Scotland. And then in the Hispanic world, you have more of the dwarf, the duende and things okay. and things like that. But it's just, again, what I found the most fascinating about it is it's not one central area. It's all over. And it's right. from hundreds of years when we couldn't get to each other. You know what right. I mean? So there had to have been something there, but you're right. It's more of a trickster. It's more of a tricking than evil. You know what I mean? Where it'll,
I don't see them as evil, but
no. Yeah. So, yeah. but, I did learn about fae folk and elementals is that we hear the banshee, and that's actually considered, an elemental or a fairy, you know what I mean? Creature. So I thought that was interesting because when I think of that, you think of more paranormal realm,
right?
You know what I mean? But, turns out from the very beginning definition of it, it was supposed to be that. So yes, I'm sure our audience appreciates, the lesson on elementals as much as I do, but shifting into that, do you believe there's still magic in this world today?
Yes. Very much so. And I practice it regularly.
Okay.
So, you know, it's like I didn't always. And then all of a sudden I started learning about it from my ex. And then I met some witchy folks and started taking classes. Okay. And it just resonated with me. And it's like, oh, this is what I've been missing. And for me, it's about honoring nature and creating your best life and using tools. And, you know, intuition is very important to me. And mm-hmm. it's not like, yes, I have a wand. Do I use it? No. But I love it. And I'll pick it up every now and then. I don't use a lot of fancy tools, but it's like setting intentions and using certain energies from herbs or crystals or just your mind and certain times of the year, certain times of the month because of the moon phase. And there's all kinds, and astrology, there's all kinds of ways to use these things to your advantage. So to me, magic can be very simple, everyday stuff. And it's become, writing has become very magical for me. So it's part of,
wow.
you know, my magical practice. I know that tapping into that has helped me with my writing for, you know, the first two books and the number three that's running around in my head at the moment. And so, yeah, it doesn't have to be sparks, but, you know, and the fae folk are very involved with that. You know, they're very, get very involved with witches and stuff like that. And people always ask me, you say you're a witch. Are you a good witch or a bad witch? I go, people can practice dark arts, white arts, both. I stick to the light stuff. I don't need to go down that other path, but I know people who have because they sometimes need to protect themselves in a very dramatic way but whatever. Mm. But there are witches or sorceresses in alien cultures and in cultures all over the world. And a lot of times, like I know the Celtic witchcraft practice, you know, a lot of times they would get their information and their magic from the aliens, because magic and witchcraft is just science. It's mm-hmm. it's nothing more than science. It's just how you use it. And I use it very simply, but I use it. And it's really helped me change my life. So, yes, I believe there's magic going on all the time here. And I have some of my best friends are witches. And okay. one of my best teachers is a witch who died in 1979, who I talk to regularly. So, you know, it's all good.
That's so wonderful. Yeah. So you mentioned your book. Why did you write Midlife Magic?
Thank you. That's my first book, and it's a memoir. And years ago, when I was going around to these UFO conferences and things, and I was always speaking about my ex-husband's military experiences, mm-hmm. and this lovely woman came up to me. She's very intuitive. She goes, "When are you going to write your next story?" I go, "Well, he's going to write something. No. When are you going to write your story?" It's like, I've got nothing to say. Oh, yes, yeah. you do. And I hadn't even thought about it. But over the years, I started making notes. And, you know, it's a good Mormon. I'd written several biographical notes or autobiographical notes, you know, family history, all that stuff. And so I started going back. Before COVID, I had the opportunity to start attending a writing group. So I pulled my notes together. And this book started emerging. But by then, I'd had 6 ex-husbands. One of them had died, so he wasn't an ex. But and then number 7 and I were getting along. So the first half is, you know, my childhood and how I managed to survive 6 awful marriages and how I met the prison inmate military guy and mm-hmm. How he introduced me to all this stuff. So half of it is husbands, and then half of it is, you know, my UFO experiences and my paranormal and my magic and how I protect myself and how I use my intuition and how that path is not over. You know, it wasn't over at that point and how it's extended because it has, it's not stopping. So that's the first book, Midlife Magic. And, you know,
what about your other books and what were the second,
The second book is a sequel, but is actually about narcissistic abuse because that's who number 7 is, turns out. So not a great topic, but it's one that needs to be talked about and educated True. About. True, yeah. So it is how I figured that out and got into therapy and navigated that and how everything untangled and how the narcissism became so apparent as we were trying to talk, but it was mostly through letters because then COVID happened and stuff. So we could mm-hmm. only write letters. And so that's all about navigating and surviving and thriving through a narcissistic abuse situation, and that'll be out in the early summer. So I'm very excited about that book.
Oh, excellent. Well, yeah. Stay tuned. And when that's about to get released, please come back on.
I will. And the third book, you know, I don't have a title, but it is tapping into the paranormal and the ancestry stuff. So it's like, it's more like I'm really okay now. And now I'm going to talk to all my dead grandmas and find out what they want everybody to hear. Because wow. I feel like women's voices have been suppressed for too long.
I love that concept. No, you're right. And I love yeah. that concept of getting a message yeah. from back then to out now.
Yeah.
You know, I think oral history has just as much of a part on us as anything that was written down. And when you have 2, 3, 4, 5 people, more than one, in a room discussing something, there's just some magic about it. You know what I mean? When you get a good conversation going, there's still magic. I believe in that.
Well, and the fact is they're all dead, mm-hmm. you know, makes it more magical. And the, like I said, it's germinating. I belong to a writing group and most of the people in there, they're all very magically based people. So, you know, we do trance and then we write. And it's like that the beginnings of this book is coming through there. And it's like, because that's where I really see the evidence that, you know, the magic is helping my writing. And, you know, I've already talked to my mom and she's very excited to get the grandmas together. And, you know, it's like, this is the best of both worlds.
I think that's spectacular. Yeah. That really yeah. is. So I'm actually going to turn the floor over to you now. Oh. Please take as much time as you want. Promote yourself. Where can people find you? Where can they grab your books? You've been a okay. wonderful host. I know people are going to want to hear more from you.
Oh, thank you. I have the first book, Midlife Magic. It's available on all the usual platforms and stuff. If you don't need it, want a signed book, if you want a signed copy, the website for that is dragonhillbooks.net. And because I always keep copies here. my new website for the narcissist stuff, and that side of my healing work is just joannefawcett.com. Let's see what else. You could Google my name and find a million podcasts or interviews I've done on paranormal, aliens, you know, relationship stuff. It's kind of, my name's kind of all over the other place. But, you know, what I like to tell people is, and what's come to me is, you know, there's aliens and there's magical stuff, but we're all connected. So mm-hmm. I have these two messages, like we're all connected. And some of the aliens I know about are the most spiritual people ever. And also, you know, it's never too late to change your life, because look at me, I'm almost 70 and I keep changing it and keep moving towards great things. And so, you know, people can email me at joanne@joannefawcett.com. There's my other email on the Dragon Hill Books. I am, you know, pretty easy to find. I have Facebook page under Joanne Fawcett. So I'm pretty much out there.
Wonderful.
And, yeah, I'm pretty transparent and I obviously don't mind talking. So I'm happy to answer questions. So, I'm sorry. And one more thing. Sorry.
Yep, go ahead.
I used to have a nonprofit to sell all the space and military and the, you know, the alien reports and stuff that the ex wrote up. I still have the bare bones of that website to sell, because I keep selling the reports just because they're still, you know, sought after. But that's edhca.org for Earth Defense Headquarters. So, you know, if people, and there's an email there, so people can, you know, if they want to do alien stuff, they can reach me that way.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. Thank you You're for becoming welcome. A friend of the program. Hopefully
yes.
you can become a friend of UPRN and get on all of our shows, because
oh, cool.
we have a lot of similar type shows that go on, and you are a wonderful guest, and I will definitely
you.
Pass your information around any. So thank you so much for your time. I truly appreciate that. And I'll talk to you soon.
Great. Thank you for being such a great host. This has
Thank
been a
you.
Lot of fun. Yeah.
All right. You have a good night. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. All right, everybody. So that was our wonderful guest, Joanne Fawcett. Please, you heard all of the places that she's at. Please give her a go check her books out. Write to her, email her. She's a wonderful guest, and I couldn't have thought of a better person to have on for all of you for today at 6 o'clock. And we're moving forward. We're going to be 6 o'clock every Thursday Eastern, 5 o'clock drive time in Louisiana and Gulf Point. And just keep looking for more of the same, guys. Hopefully we can get more text boards, questions, comments in the chat. We're interactive. We're going to be with every single buddy. We're going to get to as many questions as possible. You can reach me personally at tom@beyondtheradarnews.com. Beyond the Radar News. Now I'm going to get into that here for a little bit. Beyondtheradarnews.com is the hub for this show, but also your paranormal news. I host a blog there. You can come check out my blog. But also, being in IT, I made a map on there where you can submit your own sightings, UFOs, paranormal, cryptid, and you'll be a dot on the map of the United States, and other people can come check out your story. You want to upload a picture or a video or anything like that, it's all going to be there. So Beyond the Radar News is going to be the home base, the headquarters, HQ people, if you will, for this program. So I wanted everyone to go there, check it out, beyondtheradarnews.com. You'll have links to our previous shows. You'll have links to UPRN. You'll have access to my blog, which if you want to hear nonsensical rantings, that's right up your alley, I promise. So please come check out beyondtheradarnews.com. We have a wonderful show coming up for you, everybody, on UPRN 105.3, I'm sorry, on the Gulf Coast, and 107.7 in New Orleans and Roku TV. I want to thank every single buddy for their time, listening, talking, sending in a question even. So we really appreciate everybody having a wonderful time. Stay tuned for the next one. If you see a story you want me to talk about or get experts to talk about, send it on in. But I'm going to keep my ear to the ground. There is no team, people. It's myself. It is just me. So please, when you email, you're getting me. You're not getting, when you go to our Facebook page, when you go to our YouTube page, you're not getting anybody but me. So this is very intimate. We'll have a conversation. We'll talk about everything. I'll get you what you want to hear on here, because this is your program. This is your paranormal news station. And I want to thank every single buddy for tuning. Please stay on with us on our next show. And for me, you can catch me on Chasing Prophecy Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. And I want to thank everybody. I'm getting out of here. Stay tuned for our next program and have a great and wonderful night.